This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai. Welcome, everyone. We're learning Masechet Maariv, Katan Daf Chav Zayin. We start at the bottom of Chav Vavam Beis Tana Rabbanan. Ha'holech l'makom l'makom. One who's going from one place to the other. He's traveling. He's in the middle of conducting various business deals. Imyachol l'mayit be'iska yimayit. If he's able to diminish his work, he should. Now, what do you mean he should diminish? You're not allowed to do work as an avel. So Tosfos says that we're talking about a davar ha'avod. That for a davar ha'avod, you are allowed to do, but we're saying here that you should be mamayit. And so, v'imlav, and otherwise, yigalgal imahem. You sort of continue to do the business dealings that you're doing with the other people who you're with, but you can't do your own personal business dealings. So Tosfos says, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a father and mother. We're talking about someone who lost their father and mother. So someone who lost their father and mother, typically, you would have to diminish. But if you're not able to diminish, we give you a special heter that you could be megalgal imam, continue to do deals with the people that you're with. But if it was for a different relative, you would not have to be memayit at all. Rashi Atosha says, if shar meisim, you do not have to be memayit. Only
time frame. This is in the Shana Rishina?
Simultaneous.
Yeah. In other words, didn't we say on Daf Chav Beis? Right, what do we say in
the... We had sugyas of what you're allowed to do by the Shiva, by the Shloshim. This is Talmud Mishnah after Shloshim.
The Chayra. We had this on Daf Chav Beis, right? Daf Chav Beis on the Beis. That for a relative, other than a father and mother, right? Mm-hmm. Right. The Gemara said like this. For other relatives, you can imai, you don't have to. For father and mother, you have to. So what is it? What is it? So father and mother, you have to be mamait. Other relatives, you don't. So Tosfos learns this Gemara that allows you, that suggests that you're mamait, otherwise gives you a heter to magal gimam, must be talking about a father and mother. But and since you're on the road, there's a special heter to be lenient. But for other relatives, you don't have to be mamayit. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about a practice that we already said fell into disuse, and that is turning over the bed. They used to turn over the bed. This has nothing to do with minimizing comfort and sleep, because even if you sleep on the floor, you still must turn over the bed. It's a token gesture. You're sort of publicizing the fact that you're bitzar, you're taking your item of comfort, and you're putting it out of use. So, me'imasai koifinas amitais. From when do you turn over the bed? Now, the question is not only regarding turning over the bed. The question is regarding all practices of Avelos. From when you leave the entrance of your house. This is the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Except when the mace goes out of the entrance of the house, then you need to start to conduct the practices of Avelos. So, once the mess is taken out of the house, you have to prav avelos. Divrei Reb Lezer, Rabbi Shua. I remember Misha Yistoim Hagoylo, from when the casket is sealed. Now, this is a big machlokes in Shas. If you ever learned Ksubis, what the goylel is. The goylel, Rashi usually in Shas says, goylel is the casket. When you seal the coffin, that's the goylel. That's when the avelos begins. Others learn the goylel. Tosfos and Ksuvos brings up Shat, the Goylel is the Matseva, or it's the stone on top of the casket. But we'll go with Rashi when the casket is sealed. Maisa.
They don't bury.
Yeah, and that's so they don't. True. So according to Rashi.
It's Talmud Bavli.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Stam in Bavel was very damp. They had to put it in a coffin. They couldn't put it in the earth. Maisa Shemesrim Gamliel Hazakin. Kivin Shiyatsumi Pesach Besa. Fine. Maisa Shemesrim Gamliel Hazakin. There's a story when Gamliel Hazakin passed away. Kivin Shiyatsumi Pesach Besa. When they took the body out of the house, Amalhem Rebbe Lezer, Kfu Mitoisechem, Rebbe Lezer said, and this is Rebbe Lezer Lishitase, that once he left the entrance of the house, you have to prav avelos, turn over the beds. V'kivan shenistam hagoyla, once the casket was sealed, amar lahem Rabbi Yeshua, kfu mitoisechem. Then Rabbi Yeshua chimed in with his shita that you need to turn over the beds. Amrulai, they said to him, kfar kafino apizakein. We already turned over the beds based on the advice of Rebbe Lazar. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. When do you turn over the beds on Erev Shabbos? Because we know you're not a prav avelos on Shabbos except for Dvarm Shabbatzina. However, the positioning of the bed is not Dvarm Shabbatzina. That's Befarhesia. So when do you, in other words, for the bed has to be returned over for Shabbos. So when could you return it? Minha Mincha Lamala, from Mincha and above. Now, which Mincha is this? So Tosfos says, Perish Tosfos Harav, Perish Tosfos Harav, the Masafkale Mincha Gedola Mincha Ketana. Where Masupik, is this Mincha Gedola, which is a half hour after Chatzos, or is it Mincha Ketana, which is 2.5 hours before the end of the day? Demikoidim Lachain Eno Yoshvela, because before that you're not to sit on it. Okay, so that's a shaila on the Rishonim. Is this talking about Mincha Gedola, or is this talking about Mincha Ketana? Fine, says the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Afal Pikein Eno Yoshvela Ad Shatachshach. Even though you're turning the bed right side up, you cannot sit on it until Shabbos proper comes and it's nightfall. So in other words, even though we allow you to have the convenience of turning it over a little bit early, but you can't actually use it. Ulamatsoi Shabbos, and when Shabbos is over, Afal Pisha Ein Loi Leishiv Elo Yom Echad. Even though you only have one more day to sit Shiva, Choyzer V'Koyfa, you have to turn it over upside down again. Now there's a very big Machlokes Rishonim between the Ramban and the Ritva. When the seventh day of Avelos is Matzoi Shabbos, do you need to prav avelos in the morning, and we say mixas hayom kukula in the morning? In other words, do you need to sit, let's say, an hour in the morning or a minute in the morning? Or do we say no, mixas hayom kukula even applies at night, and even Matzoi Shabbos you could prav a minute of avelos and then turn the bed right side over? So there's machlokes rishonim whether mixas hayom kukula is needed during dafka the day or it applies even at night. Well, that what? That makes us say Yom Kukulai?
No, didn't we say Yom Kukulai is like
this? Yeah, right. So we paskin that way, yeah.
We paskin like Avodah.
Yeah. So, but regarding the seventh day, which is Matzoi Shabbos, there's a shaila whether that applies dafka for the night of the day, or you could even utilize this at night. Zafa b'shein leishav le'eloyim echad choyzer v'koyfeh. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Hakoifa mitasai. One who turns over his bed, lo mitasai bavadu koifa. You don't only turn over your bed. Ela kol mitoi sheyesh lo b'toich beisai hu koifa. You have to turn over all the beds that you have in the house. Meaning you have one bed in the master bedroom, you have one bed in the den, you have one bed in the basement, you have one bed in the garage. When they throw you out of the house, you need a place to stay, right? You have different beds.
The beds that the Avil uses, not...
Pashup Shat, the bed that the Avil uses, or any bed in the house. Not only that, you have 10 houses. You have to turn over all the beds. Koyfe Eskulan. Vafilu Chamisha Achen. You have 5 brothers. Umeis echad kulan kaifen. All the brothers turn over their beds. V'mhoisa mita ham yuchedes l'keilim. But what if you have one bed? You don't sleep in it. You put your stuff on it. Most people have a place where they dump things. Ein sarch l'chvoisa. You don't have to turn it over. So now we have the big sugya of dargish. Dargish ein sarch l'chvoisa. You don't have to turn over a dargish. Ela zoikva. You could stand it upright. So you don't have to turn it over, but you turn it on its side. Now, what's the question? What's a dargish? Yeah, that's the big question of the night. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, dargish? No. Matir es karbitov. You could untie its loops, and then the sheet falls out on its own. That means like this. Right now, we're assuming the dargish is like a bed frame. The bed frame has holes in the side. the sheet or the bottom of the what you put the mattress on has loops. You stick the loops through the holes on the side of the bed frame, and you loop it through the hole on the side. So the opinion of Rav Shem Gamliel is you could just untie the loops, and then the bottom of the bed frame, the sheet that fills the bed frame, will fall out on its own. So now we have one simple question. My dargish. What is a dargish? Amar Ula, Arsa de Gada. Ula said it's a fortune bed. A good fortune bed. Every good family has a good fortune bed. What's a good fortune bed? You put out a bed, and nobody sleeps in the bed. Who's the bed for? The angel, the protective angel. It's a token bed to say in this bed stays the protective angel of the house. Kisei Shalyo, something like that, exactly. So that bed, you don't have to turn over, you could just put it on its side. Amar le Rabba. So Rabba has a kasha. Don't, you're going to tell me a dargish is a good fortune bed? Elamayata, gabe melech, by a king, the tnan. Kal ha'am, mesuvim al ha'aretz. All the people are sitting on the ground. V'hu musav, mesav al ha'dargish. And he sits on the dargish. This is talking about a melech. Again, elamayata, gabe melech, a king who's sitting shiva. So all the people who come to be menachem, him, are sitting on the ground, and the king is sitting on the dargish. So now, here's a question.
So half bed, half seat.
Now, the dargish, who usually sits on the dargish? Nobody. It's reserved for the angel. So what's going on? The king's sitting shiva, and all of a sudden he's sitting on a bed that he wasn't allowed to sit on the whole year. He's sitting shiva. Now he's elevated to the status he could sit on the good fortune bed. Me, komidi, is there anything that ado idno loy osvino? That until now we wouldn't put him on hashda osvino, and now we put him on it. How could it be that if the dargish is a good fortune bed that typically nobody sits on, that will put the king on it when he's sitting shiva? Maskevla Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi asked back, what kind of question is it? My kusha, midi dehava achilo shti, it's like food and drink. Until now, we didn't feed him and give him to drink. We know that the king usually eats out of his own kitchen. It's not incumbent on the citizens to feed the king. And now, when he becomes an ovel, we have to feed him the first meal and give him to drink. Hashto achline vashkine. Is that down or maybe it's more? It sounds like the Gemara feels it's
nobleman, and he had avodim, and he was eating in a gracious manner. But now he's going up.
Sounds like the fact that we're serving him is a aliyah,
yeah.
Or at least there's an element of an aliyah. No, the Gemara is from. The Gemara must be saying that
the king's always getting the best all the time, right? So if he's getting the best all the time, and now he's not getting that best, so it makes sense that it's less, because all year Melech gets served not the best.
So you could say the same thing with the Darga, no? Who said the Darga
is worse? No, Mazel is much better. Darga is much better.
Better than sitting on the throne?
That is the Mazel. That is the Mitzvah Shel
Toiva. Yeah,
but that sounds as good as it gets. Let's show you the Mazel level.
That doesn't mean it's a better bed.
So this is the kasha of Ashi.
Yeah, they'll have a sealy mattress.
Okay.
Just not a.
Doesn't seem like people actually sleep on it. So it's,
yeah, the Gemara.
Okay. It's not better or worse.
This at least this covet or this gesture that we feed the king from people's own food seems like some kind of covet that we offer the king at his moment of sorrow. So Rav Ashi is saying, we see from here that for Avelo, sometimes we do a service that we don't typically do. If you have a question, the following should be the question. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Dargish einoy tzarech lechvoisai. A dargish you do not have to turn over. Ela zoikvai, but you could turn it on its side. Right? We learned earlier that a dargish, you don't have to turn it over, but you could put it on its side. V'i arsa the the Gada, if it's a good fortune bed, why wouldn't you have to turn it over? If it's a regular bed, it's just the guardian angel sleeping on it, why wouldn't you have to turn it over? That's the kasha.
So if you means side?
Yeah, you stand it straight. You stand it straight when you stand it straight. Right. You stand it upright, and now it's, yeah. The result is that it's going to be on its side. Huh. Well, meaning, so you'll ask, what do you mean? Maybe you don't have to turn it upside down, because it's not usually stepped on. But the Gemara asks, Hatanya, we learned the Raisa, Kofi mitas, Allah mitas, Vadu Kofi, El Kami, Dash Yeshua, Batach, Beisa, Kofa. So that's the kasha you should ask. If a dargish is a regular bed reserved for the guardian angel, you should have to turn it over, because the Braisa says you have to turn over all your beds. So Gemara says, my kasha, what kind of question is that? Isn't this like a bed which is designated for a kelim that you don't have to turn over? The tanya m'hoisa mita ha'miyuchadas l'kelim eino tzach l'chvoisa, a bed that's designated for kelim you don't have to turn over. Elai kasha ha'kasha. If you're going to have a question on a dargish, then you should have the following question. Rav and Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, dargish mater karbitav v'hu noifel me'elav. A dargish, you untie the loops, and it falls down on its own. V'yisakadaitach arsa degada. If a dargish is a good fortune bed, my karbitin islay. There are no loops on a good fortune bed. You know that. Right? Everybody knows that there are no loops on a good fortune bed. Rashi says, arsa degada mitar shem yachtim oysa la mazal toiv in mishtam shemal klum elam yachtin oysa lishrois mazal toiv aleha. You designated that good fortune should reside in the house. The Rishonim asked, that's nichosh. What?
When did this good practice start?
The good
luck charms.
Arsa the Gada?
Probably when we start Koifin Asamita.
Kobe. Huh? The Rishonim asked, how are you allowed to do this? It's nichosh.
Right.
How are you allowed to designate something? So the Ran in the Dharm says it's somehow it's designated for the protective angel, and that's not under the guidelines of nichosh.
In certain sects, they designate the chair that is still for the...
This is not a problem of nichosh, but apparently there are no loops here, right? There are no loops in the good luck bed. Maybe we could put it as one of the sponsorships of the new building, the good luck bed. Okay, so the Gemara asks... When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "Hahu me'rabanan," that one of the rabbis, Rav Tachlifa bar Ma'arava Shmei, and his name was Rav Tachlifa from Eretz Yisrael, Dava Shchiach Beshuka de Gildoi, who frequented the leather maker's market, my dargish arsa detzala, a leather bed. And this was used by important people when they would travel. This was a leather frame, a leather bottom that was somehow folded onto a wooden bed frame. It marnami am Rabbi Yirmiyah dargish. What is a dargish? Sirugoi mitoichai. It's bound through loops from within the frame. Like we said before, the wooden frame had holes in the frame, and you would slip. Basically like this. You had you have a tissue, anyone? Here, this is the sheet. This is, right, a leather sheet. You see the leather sheet, everyone? It was surrounded by a wooden frame. The leather sheet had loops. The loops were stuck through the hole in the bed frame. So there was a wooden frame, there was a slit in the frame, and there were loops attached to the leather sheet, and you stuck the loops through the wooden frame.
Right.
Some of you stuck it through the hole and you looped it through. So the difference between a dargish and a regular bed is a dargish, it's bound from within the frame. Mita, regular bed, sirugal gaba, was bound from around it. In other words, you would tie it around the bed frame as opposed to sticking it through the loops or the opening in the wooden...
It's not a mazel bed,
no. And so, l'chayra, a mazel bed, though.
Why should
there be a chilek between this, the way they make a bed?
Why would you have this bed opposed to a regular bed?
So this bed was not a typical bed. This bed you would take with you when you would travel. So since it wasn't a steady bed, you would not have to turn it over. What did we say about a dargish? You don't have to turn it over, but you stand on its side. Because since it wasn't used regularly, so you don't have to turn it all the way upside down, we just turn it to the side. But any regular bed, you do have to flip it over. Yeah? Good. Amar Rav Yaakov bar Acha, Amar Rav Yishu ben Levi, Halacha, Kerub Shem Gamliel. That what? That it's not enough, you don't have to stand it upright, but rather you have to do more than that. In other words, Rav Shem Gamliel is a Chumra L'chayra, you have to loosen, Mater Karbitov, you have to loosen the loops.
So you can't sit on it.
Yeah, and so that means it's completely useless. Now we're going to talk about a two-post bed. Anybody here at home have, you know, the two-post bed? You have one pole that comes out of the head, one pole that comes out of the bottom of the bed, the legs of the bed, and you have a pole that goes across the bed, and you hang up a sheet, like a tent, and this way, when the baby cries, you don't hear anything. It's good, right? No, you don't do that?
I have that problem.
Okay. So, the two-post bed, Amar Rav Asi, Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rav Asi, Mayimito Shenaklitao Yoitzen, a bed that its posts protrude. So here's the bed, everyone see the bed? You have one post here, and then a post that goes across. Zoikva, you could turn it on its side, Vidayo, and it's enough. You don't have to turn it upside down. You know why? Because he can't. Because if it has two poles and then one thing's like, you can't turn it. Yeah, so you can't do that. Good to know. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan, Yashin A'a. Now, this is a Gemara we had earlier. It says over here, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, Yashin Agabe Kise. If somebody slept on a chair during Avelos, Agabe Udyaini Gedoyla, on a big mortar. Agabe karko, or even on the floor, lo yatsi de chavasi, did not fulfill his chiv. Why? Because you have to turn over the bed. It's not enough to be uncomfortable when you go to sleep. You literally have to turn over the bed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan shalei kiyem kviya samita, because the guy did not fulfill turning over the bed.
And what happens if you turn over the bed and slept on this?
On the floor?
Yeah.
Then it's good. Oh, I think the Rambam says you have to sleep on the overturned bed, right? I think we said that. I think we said that. I think you have to dafka sleep on the overturned bed. You mean, so why?
This is the first time you use Lashon Lo Yatzei Ide Chavasa. Let's say a person didn't do any other things that Avelos requires.
We didn't say that before, that Lashon?
But what does it mean, Lo Yatzei Ide Chavasa? That means that if after Shiva he has to still continue to do this until he's...
Oh, you mean... I'm not sure.
6 years later, you realize, you know what, I never did this.
I'm not sure. Tanu Rabbanan, the following avodas we could do in the house of the Avel. Mechabdin, we're allowed to sweep the floor. Umarbitzin, we're allowed to sprinkle water to settle the dust, the Vesa Avel. Because these are minor avodas. That's not considered doing avoda in the house of the mourner. These are minor things. Umadichin kars, we could rinse off the plates, the koisos and the cups, the tzlechios and the jars, the kitonios and the bottles, the vesa avel, the ein mavian es hamugmar. You're not to bring incense, vies habesamim, or spices, le besa avel. You're not to bring these incense and spices, vesa avel. It's not proper that, you know, you're starting indulging in fragrant aromas in the house of Avel. Yeah, you don't bring bottles of cologne for, you know, for people to sample and smell. Eini, but we ask a question about Tani Bar Kapara, Ein Mevarchin Layal Amugmar, but somebody says, Avel, it says you don't make a bracha on it. Bruchi Hudu Lay Mevarchin, Ha Asuya Mai Sinan. You don't make a bracha, but you're allowed to bring it. Lay Kasha, Haba Vesa Avel, Haba Vesa Menachamin. When do we say you don't bring it at all? That's in the house of the Avel. Meaning in the room that the Avel stays when he's on his own, you don't bring in the fragrant aromas. It's not appropriate that the Avel should be indulging in fragrant smells. Habaveis HaMenachmin, but in the room where the people come to console him, you never know who could come to console. Maybe you're going to have one of these guys who have a foul odor. It's people who haven't showered in many, many years. And it's not pleasant, and it's crowded, and it's stuffy. So in honor to keep out of respect for the Menachemim, so we could bring in the pleasant aromas into the place where the Menachemim are.
Where would that be now? What does that mean?
So the, what it would be is if the Avel is all by himself in the room, you can't bring it in. But at the, I guess at the time that the Menachem are being Menachem, then you're allowed to bring in these pleasant aromas. Now that's how that's one way of learning the Gemara. Other Rishonim learn as follows. Beis HaAvel means the place where the Avel is sitting waiting to bury the dead. There, you're allowed to bring in the pleasant aromas because you're trying to mask the smell of the mess. And the reason you don't make a bracha is you don't make a bracha on something that's only giving smell to mask over a bad smell. But in the Beis HaMenachem, you're not allowed to bring it in at all because it's not appropriate that during this tikufa, people are indulging in these smells. What do you mean, Matzah? Oh. Does an Avel smell Besamim?
Well, there's no Avelus in Shabbos, right? So,
but Matzah?
It's after Shabbos.
In other words, it's not. It's like having what's like a segregation. Like, what is that?
Does an Avel smell Besamim? I'm not sure.
It's not even mitzvah level. I don't know. It's not, I'm saying it's not a, you're not being netted from Besamim by a mitzvah.
Does an Avel smell Besamim? I don't know, we have to look it up. But again, it says, we don't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, Zok the Mishnah. Ein moylichin lebeis ha'avel. We do not deliver food for the avel. Leibetavla, not on a tray. Because this is considered a very elegant way to serve him food. Vloibe is kutla, and not on a large bowl. Vloibe kino, not in a large basket. Elevesalim, only in a regular basket. Now we're going to talk about Avelos and Chalamayid. It used to be, based on the Gemara in Ksubis, you would do something called Berchas Avelim, which was a blessing you would say to the Avelim. We don't do that anymore. When did that stop? Maybe when they stopped doing Kfiyas Hamita. Yeah, a lot of things stopped. Ve'in oimrim Berchas Avelim b'mayid. We don't say Berchas Avelim and Chalamayid. Aval oimdim b'shura. But we do make the row, u'menachamin, and then we console the mourner, u'paitrin esarabim. And we send people home. In other words, there's nothing more for them to do because they don't make Birchas Aveilim. Or Upaitrin as Harabim means we exempt the Rabim from having to come back and be Menachem after Yom Tov because they already did so now. We had this idea. Ein Manichin as Amita Barachayv. We do not place down the coffin in the street on Chalamayid, even for Talmud Chacham, Shaloi Lahargal as a Hesped, so as not to be margal people to give hesped demach chalamayid. Now, for a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to. But for a regular person, you're not allowed to. And if we're going to put down the coffin of a Talmud Chacham, it's going to make a big deal about hesped demach in general on chalamayid, so we don't like to do that. V'loy shal nashim lailam. We never put down the coffin of a woman in the public place. Mibnei akavid, out of the woman's dignity. Okay. So now the Bryce is going to list a number of practices of differentiations between the rich and the poor, that we stop making these differentiations today to protect the dignity of the poor. Tan Rabbanan. Barishayna hayomaylichin bebeis ha'avel. In the beginning, we would bring food to the house of the mourners. Ashir and beklasa shokasef. Rich people, we would bring them food in silver baskets, v'shel zav. V'aniyim besali nitzarim shal arava kelufa. And the poor people in twig baskets of peeled willows. Basically, you know how it is. The rich people would get fancy baskets. The poor people would get nebuchal baskets. V'yanim is baishim, and the poor would be embarrassed. Who? Everybody did, right. Heskinu shiyu akom avin besali nitzarm shal harava klufa. They are masakein that everyone brings the food in baskets of twigs of peeled willow. At first they would give the avela, they would give people to drink in the house of the avel, ashirim, in the house of the rich, bezchuchas levana, in white glass, v'aniyim bezchuchas tzvua, in the poor, in colored glass, v'yanim is baishim, the poor would be embarrassed. Eskinu shiwa kol mashkin bezchuchas tzvua. So they were masakin that everyone was given to drink in colored glass, when they kvoidon shalaniyim, to protect the dignity of the poor. Barishayna hayu megalin pnei ashir mechasim pnei aniyim. At first, when a rich person died, they would keep his face uncovered And they would have viewing hours, you know, like the Goyim have. You know, you could come to view the mess. They would put, you know, they give the mess a manicure. They give the mess, they wax his face. They put on his nicest tie. They position his face with the right smile. So we used to do that also by the Ashirim, because we'd say, look at this robust glow, person with a glow on his face. This man's going to be eaten by the worms one day. But they wouldn't do that to the poor, because the poor's face were black from famine. They would cover the face of the poor. Their faces were black. The Aniyim were embarrassed. So they were masakin to cover everyone's face, out of respect for the poor. So these are a number of practices in order to protect the dignity of the poor. They made a unified takana that everyone does the practices of Avilos on the same level. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick it up tomorrow.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.